2022-16, Armada.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 47.07 acres plus or minus into 67 single-family lots to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The properties are lying on the south side of Harmons Hill Road, which is Sussex County Route 302, approximately 1 mile west of Indian Mission Road, which is Route 5. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 16, parcels 25.00 and 25.05. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the plus comments. We have a copy of a letter received from Artesian Resources. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the staff review letter. We have a copy of the technical advisory comments, including a letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Delaware Historical and Cultural Affairs Office, and I would note that we have received one letter in opposition, which is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. Mr. Hunt.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wheatley, members of the Planning Commission, staff, and council. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing Grayway Developers, LLC, the applicant for the application that was just described by Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago. With me this afternoon, by way of some quick introductions, sitting at the end here on the my right, your left, is Webb Gray. He's a principal of Grayway Developers. Sitting next to him is Chris Pfeiffer, a professional engineer with George Miles and Bjor, who are the project engineers. Sitting in the row right behind them is Katja Kalinski, a senior landscape designer, also with GMB. The property we're here about this afternoon, or early evening, is located along Harmons Hill Road, and it's located about the midpoint between Indian Mission Road, which is where the cursor is located here on the screen. You can see the intersection of Indian Mission Road and then Harmons Hill Road comes across, and it's the midpoint between Hollyville Road, which is over here where the cursor is located, and again, Indian Mission Road or Route 5. This is a rural residential area of Sussex County. As you can see by looking at the image on the screens around the room, there are a number of subdivisions, and more specifically, a number of cluster subdivisions that are located along Harmons Hill Road and in this immediate area. For example, immediately to the west of the project is the Weatherby community, which is under construction right now if you were to visit the site. Directly across the street, or Harmons Hill Road, is the Independence community. As you travel east on Harmons Hill Road, between this property and Indian Mission Road is the Pelican Point community. Immediately across the street from Pelican Point is Stonewater Creek. If we go back to this site and then travel west towards Hollyville Road, again, the immediate neighbor, as I mentioned a moment ago, is Weatherby. Next to Weatherby is Liberty, and then Liberty West as you can continue further west on Harmons Hill Road and then onto Hollyville Road. As was introduced by Mr. Whitehouse, this application is comprised of two tax parcels. The smaller parcel is approximately 3 acres, the larger parcel being approximately 44 acres for the combined 47 acres. Mr. Whitehouse also commented on the zoning of the property, and I will note that this property, like all of the surrounding properties and all of the communities that I just mentioned, is within the low density area on the 2045 future land use map and are also zoned AR1 agricultural residential. This afternoon's application for these 47 acres is for a 67 lot cluster subdivision. The property is presently unimproved. It contains approximately 27 acres of wooded area, and of course that means the balance, or approximately 20 acres, is open. In the past, that open area has been used for agricultural purposes. Presently, it is not being used in an agricultural manner. To the south and east of the property, which would be this border and this border, the property runs along the Phillips Branch watercourse. and that creates a non-tidal wetland fringe along those boundaries of the property. Two other features that play a role in the subdivision plan that we're looking at here this afternoon. First, there is a 150-foot wide utility easement to DPNL for electric lines that runs in the north-south direction where the cursor is located and bifurcates the property. In addition to that easement, if you were to walk the site, it'd be very obvious that the site was strip mined several times and treated as sort of borrow pits, shallow borrow pits, which is why I would refer to it more, I think, as strip mining of the property, which creates an interesting topography for the site. Of course, earlier, Mr. Whitehouse had the aerial image there. You could see that there is some tree cover. Mother Nature prevails, so she's growing back over top of those strip mined areas. At various meetings and hearings that you all conduct twice a month, there's often a reference to the zoning code as being a toolbox. That analogy is often made, and of course, as you know, there's subdivisions, standard subdivisions, cluster subdivisions, RPCs, conditional uses. Those are the various tools for how land use will occur here in Sussex County. And certainly there's always the case that one tool is more appropriate than another tool. And this afternoon, we hope that you'll agree with this application that the cluster subdivision tool is the more appropriate tool. Certainly we think from a common sense standpoint throughout this presentation and through the materials you saw online, but also of course there's a code requirement that if you're going to use the cluster subdivision option, you have to be able to demonstrate how it's superior to a standard subdivision, and I'll address those factors near the end of my presentation. What's on the screen around the room right now is a rendering of the cluster subdivision plan for this 47 acres to help orient everyone, because we just moved Harmon's Hill Road on you. Harmon's Hill Road is now running top to bottom on the screens here. And so the subdivision, of course, runs to the right from that. The entrance to the community would, of course, be on Harmon's Hill Road and would be situated across from Independence. This is an older picture. There's actually an entrance there now for Independence. But the entrance would be across from Independence. And you would enter the community through a slightly curved, about 300 long foot drive aisle before you would reach the first home site. There are planned right now for sidewalks on one side of the street throughout the community. And those sidewalks would also connect, of course, not just these lots, but also connect to a network of trails. You can see them here, and they'll be shown in more detail on a future slide. That network of trails goes around this stormwater management pond and through these woods, also goes over to the other side of that utility easement and has a loop that goes through those wooded areas. The walking trail around the pond and as well as into that opposite area on the other side of the utility easement totals 2,900 linear feet of walking trail, which is just a little over half a mile of walking trail. In addition to that amenity, you can see on the site plan there's a location shown for a pavilion or gazebo, a gathering area, as well as a playground to be situated there. Configuring the site in the manner that you see on the screens around the room right now allowed for a significant amount of tree preservation on the site. A little more than 15 of the 27 acres that would be there of existing woods would be preserved, which is approximately 56% of the wooded areas would be preserved.
What was that percentage again? Sorry.
56. Okay. All of the lots that are shown here would meet the minimum requirement of 7,500 square feet for a single-family detached home in a cluster subdivision. And with the 67 lots on the approximately 47 acres, the resulting density of that is 1.4 units to the acre. This density is, of course, consistent with the property's designation on the future land use map as a low-density area, and also consistent with the designation of level 4 on the state strategies map for the properties that are in this area. But not only is this consistent with those land plan guides that exist at the state and county level, but the design also, of course, complements the layout of the property as where this area where the houses are located is currently an open field, and then where the wooded areas are on the opposite side of the utility easement, of course, there's no development that's occurring over there, and less development towards the rear of the property. In addition to complementing the existing layout of the land, it also complements the existing character of the other communities, of course, that exist along Harmon's Hill Road. When you saw, whether it was Weatherby or Independence or Liberty, this is very similar in design to those communities, similar in lot size. So it's consistent with the character of the area. As is required for all cluster subdivisions, there is provision for a 30-foot wide landscaped or forested buffer where there are boundaries with existing residential uses. Of course, where there are existing trees, those would remain, and so the 30-foot buffer would be added in locations. You can see those are cross-hatched in areas like this. Certainly between this community and the future Weatherby community, which again right now is being, the infrastructure is being installed, the result of both of those communities each having a 30-foot forested buffer means that there will be a 60-foot continuous forested buffer along the boundary between Weatherby and the future Armada community. As I mentioned when I was describing the property initially, there is what I'll call a fringe of wetlands along the eastern boundary and the southern boundary of the property that follows the Phillips Branch water course. As you know, the code requires or did require a 30-foot buffer from those non-tidal wetlands, but as you can see, and if I were to blow this image up, there actually is a 30-foot line that runs along there showing where that buffer is. You can see it's shown there on the screen. But of course, there are no homes as this project was laid out that are even remotely close to those wetlands. In fact, the closest home site would be about 150 feet from those wetlands, with many of the homes being 400 or more feet away from those wetlands. And the goal of this was, of course, to leave those areas protected and to make sure that there was no disturbance of the wetlands, whether it's through the construction of the infrastructure or at any other point in time. Public utilities are available to the property. Artesian has indicated its willingness to provide both public water and sewer to the site. Their ability to serve letter is included within the project materials. Electric in this area is provided by Delaware Electric Cooperative. With respect to the Chapter 89 items, the property is not located within a wellhead protection area, and the property is located in a fair groundwater recharge area. There are no known historical sites or endangered species located on the property. The property is also not located within a flood zone or a floodplain. As is typical for these subdivision applications, there will be a homeowners association formed to care for and govern the common areas that exist within the community. The property is located within the Cape and Lopen School District, and the developer would coordinate with the district with respect to a bus stop and location for children to be dropped off and picked up. Traffic, of course, is always a large concern of any land use application, as is always the case with these. There was a service level evaluation request that was filed, and DLDOT responded to that. And in addition, of course, the project went through the PLUS review process, so DLDOT had an opportunity to comment on the project there as well. As set forth in DLDOT's response to both of those items, the traffic impact for the proposed Armada community is what's classified as a minor impact pursuant to DLDOT's Memorandum of Understanding with Sussex County. As you know, that means that the trip generation is greater than 50 vehicle trips in any peak hour, but less than 200, and greater than 500 vehicle trips per day, but less than 2,000. When that occurs, as the commission's familiar with, DLDOT says the project qualifies for an area-wide study fee in lieu of doing a traffic impact study. And what that ultimately boils down to is the present requirements that are known for the developer would be that they would have to pay the area-wide study fee, which is $10 calculated as $10 per trip. And then, of course, they would also have to improve Harmon's Hill Road within the projected boundaries of the property to minor collector road standards, Harmon's Hill Road being a minor collector as those roads are classified by DLDOT. On the site, you will see, when I first described the property and the site plan, that there was an entrance located where the cursor is along Harmon's Hill Road. There is also, at the other end of the property where it touches Harmon's Hill Road, there will be provision made for an emergency access for first responders only in the event that there was some sort of emergency or crisis at the primary entrance. The entrance along from Independence that is here comes off of Thomas Jefferson Avenue. And as I indicated, of course, DLDOT would require those entrances to align. Through discussions that have occurred between the project's traffic engineer and DLDOT, it has not been formalized yet. And let's see if I can make that image bigger. It is anticipated that the intersection, as it becomes a four-way intersection, would have a design that looks like this. As you can see, there's a protected left turn into both Independence as well as Armada. Of course, you have your typical deceleration lanes. Obviously, as you turn in and are making a right-hand turn into those, there would be, and you can see the through lanes of traffic. So this is what is the likely design and outcome of development of the Armada and this intersection becoming a four-way intersection at that point in time. As you know, I often find it interesting when roads change names in Sussex County because it comes to an intersection. So this is one where I'll play a hand in creating that change of names, because this would be Armada Boulevard on this side of Harmon's Hill Road. And of course, Independence is Thomas Jefferson Avenue. And that has nothing to do with the application, but it's just a fun fact.
So now you always provide us with.
Near the beginning of the presentation, I did discuss how the cluster tool is the right tool for this project, and in fact, a superior tool for this project. In the written materials, there was, as is required by the code, a description of how this project meets the requirements of Chapter 99-9C, and you're familiar with those, and I don't intend to review many of those, although I've touched on those so far during the presentation. As you know, with respect to a cluster subdivision, the code requires a subdivision to provide for a total environment and design which are superior to what could be achieved under a standard subdivision. The code goes through a whole list of requirements, and one of those is for the applicant to illustrate a design sequence and process that's comprised of four specific components. I wanted to briefly go through those elements this afternoon. The first of those elements is to identify lands that should be preserved. And when you look at the description in the code of those items, it talks about things like historical features and areas where there are rare, threatened, or endangered species. And this site doesn't have those, of course, but what the site does have, and they're highlighted in blue, it does have those non-tidal wetlands. And so those were identified on the site plan. The code also talks about natural drainage areas. They are not natural drainage areas, but there are large holes on this site, which we've highlighted in yellow, from where the site was strip mined. And as you may recall, and we'll go back to the site plan, but one of those is here. And so we're going to use the natural fact that there's already a hole there in the ground from the strip mining or borrow that was removed and create a stormwater management pond there. And I'm not sure this was the intention when the code was drafted, but another feature of this site that is unique is, of course, the shaded area. It's 150 feet wide that runs through the property and, again, sort of bisects it into two areas. And so those were the design parameters into that first standard to identify the lands that should be preserved or at least recognized in some way. The second part of the process is to identify developable areas. And so basically that's the portion of the site that doesn't have those features that I just described. And so you can see, of course, when you look at the topography, that this is more typical of Sussex County. There's not a lot of grade change. And then you can see where the borrow pits were, but particularly back in this area, you can see all the topography changes. And then, of course, we have those non-tidal wetlands. When you subtract those areas, again, you largely end up with the areas that you see on the screen. And that's what the code says. You are looking to identify areas to minimize the impact on those features that were recognized in the first step. The third step is to locate roads and trails. And of course, the road network, DelDOT would tell us that the road needed to align with the entrance to Independence. And so that was a natural location for that road network to begin. And then as far as providing access to the site, the roads were laid out and you achieve the layout of the streets that you see there. And the street ends the way it does on the other side of the property that touches on Harmons Hill Road, again, so that there can be that secondary emergency access for first responders. In addition, there was the connectivity trail that I described earlier. You can see the sidewalks are highlighted on this, but more importantly, with respect to the connectivity, is the fact that the stormwater pond at the rear will have a walking trail, and then a person can also go to the wooded area on the opposite side of the utility easement and go through those woods there as well. The last step in the process, of course, is to locate the lot lines. And when you've done those four steps on this property, the outcome is the subdivision site plan that you see on the screens around the room. And I'll be a little even more precise with respect to how the applicant believes that this cluster subdivision is a superior design to that of a standard design. First, the homes and the lots are clustered on the most environmentally appropriate or suitable areas of the site. Again, they're about as far away from the federal wetlands as they could be on the site. Secondly, with that avoidance of the wetlands, there's a preservation of a little over half the woods, or 56% of the woods on the site, because much of that wooded area is in this area that's near those wetlands and also on the other side of that utility easement. Another reason is that, and these numbers are, of course, on the site plan or subdivision plan, but this plan results in open space of approximately 70% of the site. As the Commission's aware, the requirement is that you have a site with a minimum of 30% open space. So this plan allowed to almost double the amount of open space that's available on the site. And then, of course, utilizing the existing topography or borrow pits as they are, that will minimize the removal of dirt and soil from the site by locating the stormwater management ponds in areas that already are low-lying. Hopefully through the information that's within the project book, as well as the presentation this afternoon, the Planning Commission will agree that the proposed cluster subdivision is superior to a standard subdivision and the right tool for this property. The project is a low density project that preserves more than half the forested area. And with the design that you see on the screens around the room, it complies with the zoning code, including chapter 99 and of course, the requirements of the cluster subdivision, which are found in Chapter 115 and Section 25. I do have a proposed set of findings of fact and conditions that I will hand to Mr. Whitehouse. And with that, that will conclude our presentation, and certainly myself and the rest of the team who I introduced at the outset are available to answer any questions that members of the commission or staff may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. Let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Holly Stevens.
I do.
Okay. Ms. Wingate, any questions?
No, I just have a comment that I appreciate the design with the homes not starting until set back a bit from the road on both sides. It's very appealing to have landscape like that instead of seeing homes sitting on top of the road.
And I would note that the same sort of holds true on the other side,
right,
where it touches Harmon's Hill,
yep,
Road. The homes are back away from the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mears?
No questions, sir.
Okay. White House?
No, for me, thank you.
Staff at all? Down here?
No, for me.
I have one, and it's not, I just, it's curiosity or anything, just because it's right next, or almost next to all the land that the county owns, you know, for wastewater treatment. I mean, although the plant's not right next to it. Just with its artesian, is it just a legacy CPCN, or, you know, it seems like it's got to be pumped somewhere further away than the county nearby. It's neither here nor there for the application, just curious, you know.
My assumption was there was some arrangement or agreement between the artesian and county about that, but
right,
that I don't know. I would assume with
right,
you that it's one of those CPCNs that is a longstanding CPCN for the area.
This is what I figured, yeah, that's all. And right, and then nobody objected or anything based on that. So I'm just curious, that's all.
All right, Mr. Hutt, you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-16 Armada? Speaking in favor. Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Good afternoon. My name is Jean Walsh, J-E-A-N-N-E, Walsh, W-A-L-S-H, and I live at Independence.
Okay.
As president of the Independence Homeowners Association, I'd like it to be known that the association has no objection to the planned Armada subdivision. We've been afforded opportunity to meet with some of the traffic engineers to understand some of the road widening and turning lanes. However, the association does have concerns regarding public safety. As such, we respectfully call upon the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and DLDOT to work together and require a traffic impact study that requires all existing and new subdivisions on Harmon's Hill Road, and then ensure public safety be effective roadway design and traffic controls to handle the increased traffic. It is my understanding that Sussex County Planning and Zoning has the authority to require a traffic impact study. We call upon you to require such a study for all current and proposed subdivision development on Harmon's Hill Road area. I want to thank you for the opportunity to state my association's concerns regarding public safety.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Who's next in favor? Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Wolk. I live at 29153 Abigail Adams Drive, also in Independence. I speak in favor of Armada, and also I advocate for public safety on Harmon's Hill Road with a little more detail. So Armada is located at the midpoint on the 1 mile long Harmon's Hill Road that will soon be transformed by the growth of six new developments in addition to the existing Independence development, all totaling around 1,200 houses. So the Planning and Zoning Commission and DLDOT do a great job in reviewing each individual development. But with this amount of total development, we need an integrated approach. Six separate developments are likely to present a minor traffic impact, but the combination of all six developments is more likely to cause a major traffic impact. All of these communities would benefit from an integrated traffic impact study of all the traffic generated by the six developments and those others nearby. Relying on an individual evaluation for one development has the potential to jeopardize public safety. Now, from your package, page 898, DelDOT states that the proposed land use would generate vehicle trips that would be considered to have a minor impact on local airway roadways. But based on the impact, DelDOT recommends that the applicant be required to perform a traffic impact study. Now, DelDOT goes on to state that if the county were agreeable, they would permit the developer to pay an area-wide study. That's consistent with what Mr. Hutt said. Now, in the DelDOT Development Coordination Manual, it states, quote, a traffic impact study is required by DelDOT by a local government, such as Sussex County, or both. And most local governments that require traffic impact study do so in the context of regulating land use. Also from page 870 in your package, DelDOT states, quote, other off-site improvements that may be required include a signal agreement for the intersection of Harmons Hill Road, Indian Mission Road, and Phillips Branch Road, and the participation in funding of a roundabout at the intersection of Harmons Hill Road, Hollyville Road, and Zor Road. You would never make a determination whether those improvements are needed unless you had a traffic impact study. The Sussex County Council has the paramount responsibility for public safety. This Planning and Zoning Commission has the authority to require an integrated traffic impact study to fulfill this responsibility. And in closing, I respectfully call upon this commission to require a traffic impact study that includes all new development on Harmons Hill Road. And with those results of the study, exercise your authority to work with DelDOT to ensure public safety by means of effective roadway improvements and traffic controls that is sufficient to handle the total increased traffic. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor?
Hi, my name is Harvey Johnson. I live at 29157 Abigail Adams Drive in the Independence community. So I may be the caboose on a little train here. But as Jeannie mentioned, we did have a chance to meet with the developer and an engineer and talk about the road improvements in front of, at the intersection of the two entrances. Right. And quite frankly, we were really impressed. The diagram that Mr. Hutt showed for us, with having that new turn lane added both left and right, instead of cars backing up behind you or going off the side of the road to go around you, would be a great safety improvement. They walked us through the adjustments. It's coming 10 feet closer to us, so it takes our flagpoles and things, and they don't have to move, but the sidewalks will move, all part of the plan. And so even for those who walk along the asphalt path, it looks like the improvements that they're proposing would be very beneficial to the safety of our neighbors. And so for all that, we're grateful. And I think as much as our prior two speakers is from a homeowner's perspective, we appreciate what we're doing in one area, but we look around there and see Weatherby and see Liberty and see the others. And so it is that concern that what looks like one minor times six equals one major. And so that's our concern overall, as we approve each of these independently, who looks at the whole? And our involvement with your Planning and Zoning Commission in the past and watching many of the things that you do, it looks like you're it. You're the ones who take that overall more of a systems perspective. And so we're just encouraging that you do that in this case as well, not to a detriment of Armada, which we're very pleased with, but overall that we have someone who's taking a look at what the sum of these new activities are. Harmony Hill is only 1 mile long. And so 1,200 new homes within 1 mile is a lot of increase in traffic. So that's our primary concern. So thank you very much for your time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2022-16? Anyone like to speak in opposition? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2022-16 Armada?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5 star. We have Ann on the line. Ann, your line is open.
Hello, this is Ann LaFleur. I'm an employee of Sussex County, and I'm just calling in this evening to check the line.
Thank you very much, Ann. We hear you loud and clear, and we appreciate this important work. Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5. At this time, nobody else has indicated they would like to speak.
All right, thank you, operator. Commissioners, any further questions, comments?
No, thank you.
All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision. Or you may wish to call the office in the morning. If you are going to leave now, please do it quietly because we have a few other public hearings. We're going to keep running, okay? Thank you very much.